Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
Well, this crowd is a little bigger than the one we had in jail this morning. I hope before it's over you're not asking to be released. But if you finish before I do, just raise your hand and we'll take another offering, Willis. It is good to be here today. I got a wave from Wynn coming in. Wynn, see you back there. And Tony and Joni, good to see you. And had an interesting thing happen this morning as we were, Steve Osteen and my son Paul go in with me on Sunday morning. And by the way, the children can leave if you haven't noticed. They are anyway. Well, I'm good at this, aren't I? Hey, Dave put this thing on me a while ago to speak. I felt like Tony Robbins giving a motivational talk or something. But anyway, it's interesting this morning. I'll say this for Paul's getting ready for something big after service, but I'll say this for Kristen's benefit, that Paul was speaking this morning in jail, and he waved at somebody. A gentleman there looked like he had about a week's growth of beard, and after we were leaving, he went over and shook his hand, and we were walking out, and I said, "You know that fella?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I coached T-ball with him. He has a son the age of Wynn." So, folks, you just never know. There can be titanic shifts in your life that will throw you off. You don't see it coming. Satan can blindside us. And that's why it's essential to stay in God's Word. That is the rock. All other ground, the song says, is sinking sand. I realize I stand here this morning among giants, some amazing Christian men and women who have powerfully influenced our lives, the lives of our family. And I won't name them all, but you know, you have given and prayed for and been there for our family. And, you know, your prayers, I think, have been played out in our children's lives. And we thank God so much for you. And we do praise God for Kelly. And as we've prayed already, we certainly lift her up and the pastor and his role in her life. I just pray, too, that God's Holy Spirit will just move down that hallway and touch the lives of people there who are also hurting. I know we have members of our church who have suffered trauma and are in recovery phase, and we pray that God will bless them today and advance their healing. I'll set my cell phone up here. Nobody ever calls me, so don't worry. I did get a call once, but it was a wrong number. Now, I call my children. They don't answer. You know, they usually say, "Dad, I don't have any money. Let me call you back later." So I have to tell you this morning that I've been swept up by a relationship with Christ that knocks me to my feet. Literally, it is amazing. I remember I was thinking about this last night. I was thinking about it a lot last night. And I remember one year as a young man, I got at Christmas, my dad was a pastor, pastor and poor, which is the same thing. It's like in the South, you know, poor pastor is like one word. But Trust me, we approached the pig's feet with dignity and thanked God for them. But I remember Christmas was a big deal for us. And I remember one Christmas in particular, I thought I was getting something very special. In fact, I had it in my mind already. I had mentioned it, dropped it to my parents and thought, boy, this is it. This is going to be it, you know. And I'd acted out events that I was going to play out as I used this gift that I knew I was going to be getting Christmas. And I walked down Christmas morning, and we had little shoe boxes my parents put different nuts in that we were really a big deal, and some candy bars, maybe a Snickers or a Milky Way or something like that. And anyway, so everybody had their boxes, and I was looking at them. I was looking around for this thing that I knew I was going to get. It wasn't there. And instead, I saw a box. And I don't know, it might have been 11, 10, 11, something like that. And I said, whoa. And I opened it, and it was the Bible. And you could have heard my heart hit the floor. I thought, oh, this is really great. Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Mom and Dad. Appreciate it. I don't think I opened it. No interest. But I want to tell you, God's Word has captivated me. To begin to see its power, to begin to see the truth. I ask the men in jail often, you know, tell me one place you can go and find God's truth. Find truth at all, and not opinion, or not some. I was reading recently where a professor was telling the medical students, he said, listen, in the next 4 years, half the things you will be taught in medical school will not be true. And he said, you have to find out which half. But everything you read in God's Word is true. Amen. Amen. It stirs my soul to read Genesis to Revelations and to realize that by the way, I pulled on this a while ago, and it came loose. I thought I'd pulled out my IV. You know, I thought, good nurse. But, you know, God's Word is so powerful. And I read through Genesis, and I read the lives of Abraham, and I read the lives of Isaac, and even Joseph. What a stirring story Joseph's life is. How you could have counted down and said, listen, Joseph is out. There's no way. There's no future for Joseph. And then to see, and this is really important, to just staying steady. While the storms over you roll, while all that's taking place, and to see that God's hand is there, you know, it's like the disciples saying to Jesus, Lord, in the storm, and he's on the boat, Lord, we're going to perish. You know, wake up, doesn't it matter? And Jesus said, hey, don't be afraid. And he stills the storm. But you know, the storms of life are there. Robert sang about one of them, and I was listening to John sing, Here Comes the Miracle. I thought that was my introduction. But I was thinking, who told him? But to see in Joseph's life the fact that he was down and out. It was over. He had received the full count. Poor Joseph. Did you hear about Joseph? And I'm telling you folks that God is at work in our lives in such a way that you don't have his clock. You don't have his calendar. But when he says now, we must be ready. We must keep his worship and his praise in our heart. Pastor called me yesterday, and that was the one call I think I've received in my life. That wasn't a wrong number or somebody wanting money. But I saw his name, and I knew what it was. I knew what he was going to say. And he basically said, are you loaded? I knew he didn't mean money, but You know, if I ask you to speak, are you ready? And I said, yes, I stay that way. We must have the hope of Christ in our hearts to share with a dying world. Years ago, where Robert and Allison now live, and he lived for a long time before he was married, and he lived there with Allison and his children. And there was a man I invited to work on our deck because it was a great place to have a deck. We had half a deck. I needed a whole one. And so he came and built this deck. He was very good. And he told me, when I finish building these decks, I'm going to take my life. And I said, wait a minute. That's not cool. Well, I'm in this ugly divorce. And my wife has got possession of the children. The court has given her possession of the children, or whatever you call it. And I talked to him every day. I said, you know, God's will for your life is this, this, and this. And you know, give me a minute. Just listen to me. This is not how it's supposed to go down. This is not what God had planned for you. He finished the deck and he took his life. And I'm telling you, folks, we live in a world filled with darkness. Folks are looking at you and I and saying, does he have hope? Does she have hope? Is it possible they'll tell me about that hope? But I'm amazed at God's word, how Joseph was brought out of the prison and taken to Pharaoh. And all of a sudden, in a span of hours, he goes from being a man in prison to a man in charge. It says to me that our hearts need to be ready for whatever it is God has planned. What does he have planned for us? Sometimes we say, well, you know, this has happened. I'm not, you know, very much involved here, here, and here. But God's plan is greater than anything you can imagine. I thought, you know, all the years that I've gone to the jail and this scripture that keeps coming to my mind out of John 15 that says, hey, Paul, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Joe Carr used to be the guy that we rented, Dee and I rented, a little place to live in at 409 and a half Southeast 9th Street. And Joe worked for the telephone company, and he would meet people, and he'd go home and tell his wife, fix some soup for these folks, and he'd take it to them, Joe Carr. And he used to pass out candy at church, and I paid dentist a lot of money for that. But Joe was mission-minded in that sense. Everybody has something they can do. You know, I look at the miracles in God's word, and of course I love Joseph where he says, you know, yeah, I've been through a lot, guys, but listen, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. I love that scripture. You know, sometimes something hits you, knocks you down, and you're having an immediate reaction to it, and you think, man, this just infuriates me. But God's just saying, listen, it's not over. You just read the first few pages of that chapter. I've got something good coming. Hang on here. Don't react to the moment. Don't react to the initial response. I love what Jerry Brannan told a guy one time. Bill Dudley, I think, told him they could go up and pick corn up in Alachua. Remember that real sweet corn and Pope's fields up there? And Jerry, if this isn't true, just pretend it is, okay? But Jerry went up there, and they said they'd clean the fields, and what's left you can put in a bag, and it's free, and you can, you know, leave, because it's, you know, they didn't pick everything. Of course, that corn is so sweet, you could just eating it, just like, you know, candy. And so he was leaving. There was a guy standing at the gate there, and he said, Jerry's walking out and at the entrance to the field, and the guy said, "Where are you going?" And Jerry said, "Well, you know, I was told by Bill Dudley." that we could come up here and pick the corn that's been left. And the guy said something like, "Sir, do I look like a fool to you? You know, this is serious Alachua talk." I don't know about the fool thing. But you know, he got kind of, you know, up in arms with this. And he said, you know, you pay for that corner, you leave it, sort of thing. Got it in his face. And Jerry, in his Alabama way, of course, Jerry's a gentleman and everything, he said, sir, what I'd like to do to you, Jesus saved me from. Say it's true, Jerry, okay. But, you know, there are those immediate responses we have. You know, where Satan's kind of pulling on all of our strings at once, and we're saying, you know, I'm in. Let's do a tag team here. And God's saying this, listen, I'm doing something. Hang on. I read some scripture in 2 Kings, I believe it's 4, where these kings are going to fight, and they didn't have water to feed their cattle or horses or anything. And I've read this. I've told Paul about it. He tells them, listen, you'll see water. 2 Kings 3. He says, you will see neither wind nor rain. And this is verse 17. You in this valley, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also hand Moab over to you. You know, I thought about it. I said, that's amazing. I was watching a National Geographic program. I love these programs. But anyway, National Geographic program, and these elephants were standing by this dried up riverbed. The sky was no chance of rain. And all of a sudden, water began to flow down this river. Phenomenal. And the person who was doing the narration on the program said, this water fell 600 miles away and took 2 months to get there. And here it comes down this river. It's just like God saying, you know, my elephants have got to eat. They got to drink. And here it comes. Slow, and then a wall of water. It had rained a long time ago. You know, the exciting thing about this is what did God speak months ago for you and I? And we sometimes grow impatient. I love it. Daniel's praying, and at one point in a prayer, he prays, and this angel shows up. He says, listen, when you started praying, God sent me to tell you this. And another time, Daniel is praying, and he said, he prayed for days and days, and he said, the angel said, I'd have been here, but I ran into, you know, Lucifer down the road and had to call in backup. But folks, I love this, that the Bible says God hears us when we pray. I love it. My brother Alton, who's up in North Carolina on the coast, I'm sure he's in church this morning, but he told me my mother used to pray for us. I'd be so angry. I could have bitten a broomstick in half, because being a pastor's son is not always a fun thing, but I was ticked about a lot, you know. Had a lot of spare time. But I'd hear her pray for me. And it just incensed me that she wouldn't let me have that anger. She'd call my name out, and I said, oh, dadgummit. But you know, one thing he said to me that I love, it echoes in my mind so much. He said, Malcolm, mother's prayers are still being answered. Whew, doesn't that thrill you? How many of us sitting here this morning are objects of prayer that occurred years ago, maybe generations ago? We bless our children, probably not as much as we used to, because they've been blessed, and I'll bless them, and they know I love to bless them. One Father's Day in jail, I'd read this book, a friend of mine who's, can't believe, he's gone to be with the Lord, just a wonderful young man. And he told me, I was up at the school I graduated from, and He said, there's a book you've got to read. It's called The Blessing. I think Gary Chapman's the author. He said, get the book. We had all of probably 3 minutes. He said, get the book. You'll know what I mean. And I did. I went and bought the book right away and read it, and I knew what he meant. Getting the blessing is a big deal. A lot of these men in jail have never received the blessing because they don't know their dads. But I want to tell you what happened. I was standing there, and I said, listen, I'm going to pray. I asked them all to pray to receive Jesus Christ and invite him into their heart every Sunday. If I don't do that, why am I going? And they pray. They did this morning. And so I said, listen, after we pray, if you want me to pray the blessing on you, I've never done this before and haven't done it since. I said, just form a line right here. And I thought, two or three. And so we prayed. And as usual, there was a huge number of guys who prayed and invited Christ into their heart. And I opened my eyes, and there was a line that looked like it ran from here to that door. I mean, I was speaking, as far as they were concerned, I was speaking an entirely different language. I said, listen, I can pray the blessing on you because I've received it. God has blessed me. I look around here this morning, God has blessed you. What an amazing thing that the organs in our body work the way they do. I've been to meetings where the kidney physiology was discussed. And there were men who actually argued that the kidney was a brain of sorts because of all the amazing work that it does you never know about. Filters about 40 gallons a day and retains most of that. 24/7, God has made us wondrously. And as these men lined up, I was a basket case. I thought, oh my goodness. And I'd go to each one, I'd say, what's your name? And they'd tell me. And I'd put my hand on their head and I'd say, God, in the name of Jesus, I give this man the blessing. Lord, bless this man. These guys were weeping. Saw Ed this morning. Remember, we used to go to that Sunshine House. Remember that across from the church? Is that what that was called? Something like that. But anyway, we'd go over there, and a lot of these people who were just strung out, people who lived on the streets, this guy invited them in, and we'd go over there and preach. And I just remember this humanity that was just basically a few feet from the church, whose lives were just had been trampled by a herd of horses, and Satan had robbed them of so much. But folks, God is good to us. Think about it. If we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We take that for granted. Do you know there are people starving in Venezuela right now? No food. Inflation rate is 720%. If it was there, they couldn't afford it. Maybe you don't know it. Many of you were alive. I'm sure you were. I look out and I see indications that you were, including myself. In 1959 and 1961, 54 million people died in China of starvation. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. We better do it understanding it's a miracle you eat. I just read this morning briefly about in 1918, my grandmother was alive then. Something like 54 million people died of Spanish flu all over the world. Folks, we are a blessed group here today. And we are designed by God Himself to give back. And we always talk about money, but it didn't cost me a thing to go to the jail. And I want to tell you, I deserve no stars for that. It is my reasonable service. That's what God expects. I don't get an Eagle Scout badge for that. All he can say is, you did what you were supposed to do. And I ask you today, what is it you are supposed to do? He is good. God is good. I love that scripture that says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Love this song. We don't sing it a lot anymore, but praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are a blessed people. We are a privileged people. God has been good to us. He says, if you want mercy, show mercy. And that's something we can do wherever we may be. I'm privileged to say that our children, Robert and Christopher and Michael and Paul, I think all of them have this mercy flowing in them. Well, Michael's a one-man United way. Good grief. But they're out on the front line. I want to tell you this, and we're going to close. I've made a deal with Michael. And same deal runs for all the boys. I don't want to pull out my IV here. But I've told Michael, if you see a need that I can help you with and it requires dollars, call me. I would be overjoyed to be a part of that. Folks, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the good stuff. And life goes just like that. Amen? Amen? Wow, how quickly it passes. But I'm going to say this. God's word says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him again from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I have quoted that scripture thousands of times. And I can say almost without exception, men, and on some occasions women, and some occasions young people, have prayed to receive Jesus Christ. I tell them, as I told them this morning, if I don't see you again on this earth, I'll see you in heaven. Can I get an amen? And they say amen. Folks, I want to tell you, what a privilege to serve Jesus. I look out here and I see men and women who are service personified. You got it. You've taught me. And you have blessed us. And you've been Christ exemplified in this world, and I thank you for that. And I want to encourage you in what you're doing.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.